Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the day you've given us. Father, we just put this in your hands because, Father, this is it. We don't want to walk through another cold, dead, stale religious experience. God, we want you. We want you, Lord. And so, Father, this morning we ask for your anointing to be upon our lives, Lord God. Anoint this message, Lord God. Anoint our ears to hear it, Father. Anoint our heart to receive it, Father, I pray. Lord, that this word would go forth, Father God, with a power, Lord God, that is straight from your throne. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Several years ago, I had the opportunity to do a little bit of visitation. And I drove up this driveway, long driveway, winding back into the hills of our community. And it was a little spooky, I got to be honest with you. But I was going to visit a visitor that had been there the previous week. And so whenever I got up to the end of the driveway, there was a house. And boy, I'm telling you, it was quite a house. And I got out and I knocked on the door. And the person that I was going to be visiting actually wasn't there. But some of her kinfolks were there, and they weren't real proud of me coming up their driveway. So I knocked on the door. The door opened, and this elderly gentleman was standing there. Well, he wasn't really elderly, I guess, because I'm almost that age now. But he said, "Who are you? What do you want?" I said, "Good morning to you too, sir." I immediately began to tell him who I was. I'm J.D. Watson. I'm pastor down at Trinity, you know, there by Tyler's, because at that time it was Tyler's. He knew right where Tyler's was, so I was okay. I said, you know, just came to visit this morning. And whew. You ever had to tell somebody who you were, you know, and you had a little trepidation in trying to tell them who you were? You know, there's a lot in our names. Y'all realize that there's a lot in what we call ourselves, you know, how we define ourselves. You know, who are you? I mean, if I ask you this morning, well, who are you? What would you say about yourself? Well, you probably, you know, immediately spit out your name, wouldn't you? You'd say, well, I'm J.D. Watson. You probably wouldn't say that because that would be me saying that, but you'd probably say your name. Let me read you a couple things. I found this, speaking of names, this guy named Paul Dixon, he wrote a book entitled What's in a Name? In the book, he shares some of the most unusual names he's come across. How would you like to have one of these names for your name? Cletus Clodfelter. Rotten Earp. Real names, folks. Jingle Bells Kaplan. Or Boomfa Umfumpa. Can you imagine being called, "Hey, Boompa"? Never mind. Dixon also writes that some people seem to be destined for certain occupations by their names. Joe Bunt became a baseball coach. Dan Druff became a barber. Two men with the last names of Goforth and Ketchum actually became partners on the police force. Would you feel secure being or hiring a plaster contractor by the name of Will Crumble? Turn, if you would, to, let's see, John chapter 1. John chapter 1, we're going to read a text from there, but we're going to be all over the Bible this morning because there's a lot of scriptures that I want to share with you. They're very significant scriptures that really have a lot to do with who we are. So John chapter 1, and let's skip all the way, if you would, to verse number 19. Verse number 19, it says, "Now, this is the testimony of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who are you?'" Okay, so get the picture. John's out doing what John's been doing, man. He's baptizing. He's, you know, calling out, repent, so on and so forth. John wearing his camel hair, eating his bugs and wild honey. And so all the people in Jerusalem, because, you know, John didn't hang around the city. He was out in the wilderness, okay? And so all the people in the city, they're starting to get all this word back about this John guy out in the wilderness. And he's preaching, and people are repenting, and there's followers and all of this stuff. And so the religious community get a little nervous. And so they get together a group of people, and they send them out to ask John who he is. Okay, so picture this. John's out there. He's baptizing. People are wet. Jordan River's flowing. He's snacking on a couple of bugs, and this whole entourage walks up to him and says, "Hey, who are you?" And this is what John says. He says, he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they ask him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?" Now let's hang on right there for just a second. Okay, John, we want to know what you say about yourself. I want to know. Remember that. Know what you say about yourself, John. Now, John quotes a scripture here. So John has discovered who he is by reading the scriptures. Are y'all there? This is what he says to him. He says, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said." Okay, so here's John, and he is describing himself. He's telling these people who he is according to the word of God. Okay? End of sermon. No, really, it's not. Folks, this is it. John knew who he was. For heaven's sakes, if you want to move forward just a little bit, a few days, Jesus knew who he was as well. Jesus, if you ask him who he was, let me tell you something, Jesus would start telling you who he was based on what the scripture said about him. Are y'all there with me? Now, this morning, I really believe that the Church of Jesus Christ is having an identity crisis. Are y'all there with me? I mean, listen, I think with everything that is inside of me this morning, I want to tell you, we're having an identity crisis. We don't know who we are. I mean, we could, a lot of times, whenever we're asked, we say, "Well, I'm a Christian," but I want to tell you something, folks. We are so much more than that one word right there, according to what the Bible says about us. Now, understand this. I really believe that the Church of Jesus Christ is having this identity crisis, and I believe one of the things that the identity crisis that the church is having, it produces something. And I believe what it produces is that the church does not have spiritual authority. Folks, I want to tell you, we are supposed to be men and women of God. Are y'all with me? We're supposed to be able to take the enemy by the neck and strangle the life out of his schemes. Are y'all there with me? We are supposed to walk in authority. We are children of the Most High God, for heaven's sake. But I got to tell you, many times we wander around like we're nothing. We wander around like we don't have anything. We aren't anything. And so this morning, I got to give you kind of a progression here, okay? You know how things progress oftentimes. You know, wives, if you let your husband get by with something once, the next day they're going to try to get by with something twice. So like Barney Fife, the philosopher, he says, "Nip it in the bud." Now this morning, I want to talk about progression. Spiritual authority, what I'm talking about, begins with spiritual maturity. You're not going to have spiritual authority unless you move into spiritual maturity. Are y'all there with me? That's why babes in Christ, they don't have spiritual authority. You got to mature in Jesus Christ. You got to figure out some things, and the only way you can figure these things out is by maturing. So spiritual authority begins with spiritual maturity. But spiritual maturity, now, it begins with spiritual identity. If you're ever going to come to a place of maturity, you got to have an idea of who you are burning deep down in your gizzard. Come on now. And if you never have that spiritual identity, if you walk around this earth and you don't know who you are in Christ Jesus, you will never have spiritual maturity. And if you never have spiritual maturity, you'll never have spiritual authority. Okay? Jesus, man, you may tell you who had the most spiritual authority anybody ever walked this place? His name was Jesus. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus got it done. Are y'all there with me? Jesus walked with authority. I mean, people that were around him heard him preach and go, "Hey, this guy preaches as somebody who has authority." You may tell you, Jesus didn't get authority from the church. He didn't go up there to one of those guys that's sitting in a big fancy chair and say, man, I want you to lay hands on me and give me authority. You know where he got authority from? He got authority by looking at the text. He got authority by looking at this book and thinking, man, that's who I am right there. I read this word right here, and that's who I am. And he walked in spiritual authority because he walked in spiritual maturity because he knew who he was. Yeah. You know what Jesus said? He said, I am the way, I am the truth and the life. He said, I am the light of the world. He said, I am the door of the sheep. He said, I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection. I am the life. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. I am the Son of God. I am the true vine. All of those are taken from the book of John. But Jesus knew who he was. He knew his spiritual identity. Now this morning, all of us, whenever we came into this world, okay, you know, we came into this world, one of the very first things that happens to a child whenever a child is born is he's given a name. Why do we give him a name? Because we want them to have identity. I want my child called this. I can remember whenever Renee and I, we were planning names, you know. I mean, we had a whole lot of odd names that we looked at. We've seen a lot of people name their kids odd names. But we thought, man, we chose Cody. We thought that was a good name. We gave it to him. That's what I said. That name has identified him for all of his life. It connects him with his heritage, if you would. Now, we don't just call kids by their first name, yes? We give them a second name. Sometimes a third name. If you're Christopher Paul, you got 12 names. Now, the way I was named, it's kind of cool, because most of y'all call me JD, and you don't know what JD stands for. It stands for juvenile delinquent. No. My dad, growing up, has a best friend, and his name is JD Beard. Went to high school with him. It was longtime friends, and so I guess I was the end of the string of kids that we were going to have, that my mom and dad were going to have. So he says, listen, I think I'm going to name my youngest son after my best friend in high school, J.D. Beard. And so whenever the, you know, doctors, nurses, I don't know who come in the hospital room, says, okay, what do you name this kid? My dad says, we want to name him J.D. Just this initials J.D. because his best friend name was just named the initials J.D. It was J.D. Beard. No names associated with J or no names associated with D. And the person was doing all the information. No, you can't do that. You have to affix a name to those initials. You can't just name him initials. And so my dad, in just a moment, he goes, okay, I have an uncle and his first name is J. There you go, J, J-A-Y. And I have another uncle, and his first name is Doyle. So we're going to name this boy J. Doyle, but we're going to call him J.D. the rest of his life. And so the lady, she writes it down, okay, J. and Doyle. And that's how I got named. And a few years after that, you know, I looked at my Uncle J. and I looked at my Uncle Doyle, and I found out through kind of, you know, research and whatever, that that's not either one of their names. So I'm named after who knows what. But however, I am named Watson. That's my heritage. You know, we don't call them, I'm not just called by my first name, I'm called by my last name as well. And it connects me to that natural heritage. You see, tens of thousands of people could have my first name of Jay, but the last name puts me in connection with my birthright, if you would. But here's the thing. I'm not even really a Watson. My grandfather was adopted by a man who married his mother after his mother had had some children. And before my grandfather was adopted, his last name was Hines. And so I'm supposed to be Hines, not a Watson. I wish I was a Hines. I wish I was the Hines. I'd sell you some ketchup and mustard. But I'm just a Watson. So you see, it connects me to my family. My kids are connected to me because of their last name. My wife, whenever I married her, her maiden name was Jones. So she's married to three-fifths of the planet. I mean, excuse me, kin to three-fifths of the planet. She's not married to him, okay? She's married to me. She's a one-woman man, okay? One man, woman, there you go. Okay, I'm going to quit. We're going to get this service. Snow has done something to my brain. This isn't as easy as it looks. Okay, so I went all that distance to say this. That's the same way it is in the spirit realm. We have an identity through our name. Last week we talked about Jehovah Shema, the God that is always there. Amen? And that's the name of God. But one of the things we've got to understand is that's the same way it is in the spirit for us. Listen, before I became a Christian, before I was brought into the arms of Jesus through the blood that he shed on the cross for me, folks, you got to understand, there was a lot of names that probably identified by. I was a liar, I was a sinner, I was a deceiver. Are y'all with me? But now, I have, and we all have a new name. It's my second name, and it goes with my second birth. Are y'all there with me? Whenever I was born at Presbyterian Hospital in Albuquerque, New Mexico, that was my first birth. I was named J. Doyle Watson. Are y'all with me? But whenever I got born again in Carlsbad, New Mexico, about 18 and a half years later, I got a brand new name. Are y'all there with me? A new identity. In fact, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, it says, I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. Not an updated model, but a never before existed model. Are y'all there with me? A new creature. It says that old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And my last name now connects me with a spiritual heritage. Okay? I used to be connected with my father's name, my last name of Watson, connected me with that. But now I've got a brand new spiritual heritage, and it connects me with my spirit. I mean, a name that connects me with my spiritual heritage. I was born once in Satan's kingdom, but I was born again in the kingdom of heaven. And one of the saddest things that I believe is happening in the church today is that religion has so blinded the body of Christ that we spend most of our lives praying, we spend most of our lives striving for and working for that which is already ours by a spiritual birthright. Come on, sometimes we ask God for things that is already ours. We pray always, oh God, oh God, oh God, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. And God says, it's already yours. It's already in your pocket. All you got to do is pull it out and use it. I mean, folks, did you hear what I said? This is a crisis in the body of Christ. We pray and we believe and we study and we say, oh God, oh God, oh God, I need this. And God the whole time is saying, you don't have to strive for it. You don't have to pray for it. You don't have to work for it because it is already yours by the birthright that you have in Christ Jesus. And so this morning, I'm going to run through this list really quick. It's probably not going to take me more than an hour and a half, but I'm going to run through this list. I'm going to tell you some of the things that we are according to the spiritual heritage that we have through Christ Jesus. Number one, we are redeemed. Or let me say it like this. I am redeemed. Hallelujah. And this morning, whenever we get going here, I'd like to have a little bit of audience participation. I'm going to turn to you during some of these and I'm going to say, I am redeemed, and I want you to tell me you're redeemed. Are y'all ready for this? Okay, not yet. Deuteronomy 15:15 says, and you shall remember that you waste a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. In Psalm 107:2, it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Folks, we are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. In Galatians 3:13, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Folks, this is it. I am redeemed.
I am redeemed.
Man, that was good. Folks, we got to get a hold of this. Sometimes we walk around, and even though we have been bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, we don't act redeemed. I mean, let me tell you sometimes what happens, see, is we mess up. Anybody ever mess up? Since there's not a whole lot of youth in here, I'm going to share with you what I'm ministering on Wednesday night. I'm going to talk about, you know, whenever the rich young ruler came to Jesus. You guys had no idea what I was saying, did you? And he says, what do I got to do to get into heaven? Jesus names up all these things. I said, I've done all them. And Jesus said, no, but there's one more thing. How many of you all know that all the days of your life, there's going to be one more thing? We are never going to be perfect. Never going to be perfect. There's always going to be one more thing. Come on. And in some of our lives, there might be two or three or four or five. Some days, man, I've been batting a dozen. Are y'all there with me? But that's where Jesus Christ comes in. And I want to tell you something. Just because you mess up one time during the day doesn't mean that you're not redeemed. I am redeemed. Hallelujah. Next thing I want to share with you is our spiritual maturity begins by knowing who we are and saying so. I think we got to say it. I think we got to say it. I'm just going to tell you something. I mean, I apologize for being so transparent here, but I'm not real proud of my last name, Watson. I'll be very honest with you. I mean, I've never hailed it as one of those strong names, you know? I come from a long line of wonderful, great people. My Watson clan did all of these. I mean, they invented the nuclear bomb, for heaven's sake. I don't have any of that in my family. I mean, as far as I can look back, I got thieves and criminals and alcoholics and suicide people. I'm telling you, the whole Watson name is messed up. Are y'all there with me? So I'm not real proud of that. And so, you know, if you ask me, who are you? I don't go, I'm a Watson. Bless God. But I will tell you this. I'm redeemed, bless God. And I'm proud of that. Y'all with me? See, we got to know who we are, and we got to say who we are. I'm redeemed, bless God. You see, Christianity is not just to know salvation, but it's also to say salvation. I'm saved. I'm born again. Who are you this morning? I mean, seriously, who are you? I'm J.D. Watson. I'm way more than J.D. Watson. Are y'all with me? Okay, number two. We are righteous. We're not only redeemed, but we are righteous. Listen to this. I am righteous. And y'all go, man, I've been hanging around you. You ain't real righteous. But I'm going to tell you, my righteousness has nothing to do with what I say or what I do. My righteousness, 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin, for he who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. So this is what happened. Jesus became sin. Even though he didn't know any sin, he was made to be sin so that you and I could become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm righteous because of what Jesus done, not because of what I did. I'm not righteous because of anything other than the precious blood of Jesus Christ that flowed out on the ground. In 1 Corinthians 1:30 it says, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That's who he became for us. So I will tell you this. I am righteous. You were a whole lot more redeemed just a moment ago. Come on. I am righteous. We got to say so. It's not just knowing so. We got to say so. I am righteous. I am redeemed. This next one, I am bold. I am bold. The Bible tells us that we're bold. That we're bold people. I got to tell you something. There are too many sissy panty Christians out there. Come on. I mean, we got to be bold, men and women of God. We got to understand this. We can go into the enemy's territory and we can take back what the enemy has stolen from us. For heaven's sake, we can go into the enemy's territory and rescue that he thinks he's got for eternity. Come on now. I'm bold. Let me tell you what Ephesians 3:12 says. For whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. In Proverbs 28:1, it says, the wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Ha! bold as a lion. Let me just tell you something. I have not seen any sissy lions. I never even presumed that there was a sissy lion. Whenever we were in Africa, we were driving around safari and we were seeing all the things. Man, we came up on lions, man. We came up on lions. And I didn't just jump out of the Jeep and run over there. I think that lion right there is a sissy. I think I could spit on him and he'd run away. You see, I just automatically assumed that lion would eat me if I got out of the car. Are y'all there with me? I just automatically assumed that because I have not seen any lions that weren't bold. God put something inside of them to make them bold. They don't walk through Africa going, oh man, there's a zebra. I'm going to move out of the way. I mean, they walk through Africa, man, the zebra goes, hey, give way. That lion right there. Are y'all there with me? God has told us through His Word that we are bold. And this is what I'm going to say. Christianity is not just a no Christianity. It is a say-so Christianity. And so this morning I'm going to tell you, I am bold. Oh, man, you were still a little bit more redeemed than you were bold. Next one is, I am strong. I'm strong. Not because I lift weights all the time, as most of you can tell. I didn't say how much it weighed. I just said I lift weights. This microphone is heavy. In Ephesians 6:10, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. In Psalm 27:1, it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Are y'all there with me, folks? We got to understand this. God has made us to be strong in Him. Man, here's the great thing about God. It's whenever you come to God, you need to just admit that you're so weak you can't even get off the couch. Because in your weaknesses, that's where He is made strong. If you come to God and say, God, I got this mighty education. I don't really need anything else from You. Folks, I'm going to tell you, you're going to walk around in darkness all your life. But you come say, I don't care how many doctorates I got. God, I'm just as dumb as they come. God, give me Your wisdom. Are y'all there? God, infuse you with it. Then you'll be smart. How many of y'all know you can be educated and still be dumb? Come on. See, we gotta admit this is I'm weak, God, so that You can be strong in my weaknesses. Next one. I am a habitation of God. I am a habitation of God. Now listen to this for a minute. My habitation is on 30 Harmony Hill Road. If you come there, you'll find out where I live. You can come up there. You can see my prized firewood collection. Thank you. You can see that I haven't blown all the leaves off of my yard yet. I'm waiting for them to fall next fall. I figure let's just do 2 years at once. You know what I'm saying? You'll come there. You'll find my dog. She's usually on the front porch. She'll probably bark at you because she doesn't know your car. I'll come out if I'm there and I say, hey, Milo, come here. Come here. Don't bite them. They're friendly. You'll find my house on 30 Harmony Hill. You can go into my closet, see my shirts, my wife's, and yeah, man, you go in my refrigerator. That's don't go in my refrigerator. There's food in there. But now I want you to think about something for a minute. God has made His habitation in His people. And I dealt with this a couple of weeks ago, but this is not the habitation of God here, this building. This is just bricks and mortar, a few little wood sticks here and there. Y'all with me? Everybody says, oh, this is the house of God. It is not the house of God. I'm just telling you. It's not the house of God. A whole long time ago, that all changed. God used to live in a building. He don't anymore. In Ephesians 2:22, it says, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. You are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. This is right here. I am the habitation of God. Hey, man, you got that going. That I'm strong when I think I'm good. I need to go back to that one. I'm the habitation of God, for heaven's sake. That's who I am. God lives within me. And I'm telling you, that is mind-boggling whenever you begin to put it to deep thoughts. Amen. God, the creator of heaven and the earth, the one who created me, for heaven's sake, now chooses to abide within inside of me. Next one is, and this one, all you guys are going to get this. I'm telling you, this is going to be the most resounding one of the whole morning. I'm blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed. I mean, I'm blessed. Have you ever thought in your life, okay, now go with me here. Have you ever thought in your life, going through something in your circumstances where you've just drawn the conclusion that you're really not blessed? I have. I've drawn that conclusion. I'm not blessed. Everything's going wrong. Everything's bad. I don't have this. I don't have that. Come on. Y'all remember, this is our spiritual identity. This is who we are. This is who we are. It's not just a position. It's not just something that trickles down into your pocket. It's who we are. I am blessed. I am strong. I am a habitation of the Most High God. In Ephesians 1:3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, listen to this, who has, it's not who is going to, but it says, who has blessed us with all, listen to this, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So now that scripture just tells us that he has already done it. So you can walk around and you can have absolutely nothing. And you can say, resoundingly so, you can say, listen, I'm blessed. Somebody looks at you and go, man, you ain't blessed. You're driving a piece of junk car. You ain't got enough money to buy clothes to put on your back. And you say, let me tell you something. I am blessed through Christ Jesus. Because my Father, who sits on his throne in heaven, he has blessed me with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. I'm blessed, folks. I am blessed. Whoa, I told you this is the best one so far. We got to get this, though. It's not just a no-so Christianity. It's a say-so Christianity. I'm telling you, it would do all of us good to run these by a few of our friends. Just over coffee, you know, just drinking coffee. Say, hey, oh, by the way, I need to tell you something. I am a holy habitation of the Most High God. Now, that probably cause them to spill their coffee just a little bit. I'm telling you, it's not just a no-so. It's not good enough just to know that I'm strong, just to know that I'm a holy habitation, just to know that I'm blessed. But we got to tell people we are. Can I just tell you this? I think we need to tell one person in particular who we are, and that's ourselves. I think we need to be drinking coffee by ourselves. And just all of a sudden set that cup down and say, hey, J.D. Watson, I'm going to tell you something. Listen up. You're blessed. This next one's good too. Y'all ready for this? In 1 Peter 2:24, which most of you are very familiar with this scripture, it says, I am healed. I'm not only a holy habitation of the Most High God, I'm not only strong, I'm not only blessed, but I am a holy habitation. I am healed by the stripes that Jesus took on his back. Listen to this. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to our sins, might live for righteousness, who by whose stripes you were healed. Listen to the terminology there. Listen to the phrasing of that sentence. He says, you were healed. It is a past tense. It happened 2,000 years ago on the whipping post that Jesus literally, he bore our sicknesses in his body. So cancer and leukemia and brain tumors and multiple sclerosis and colds and flus and headaches, Jesus took them all into his body. In one moment as he traveled down the Via Della Rosa to the cross, he bore our sicknesses in his body. And the Bible tells us so so clearly and so plainly. He says, by whose stripes you were healed. I got to tell you something. I think one of the main reasons why we're not healed as much as we need to be healed is because we ain't saying it enough. I'll tell you what we usually do. We usually say, I'm sick. I'm real sick. I'm desperately sick. The doctor said I'm sicker than any person he's ever seen. I think doctors say that all the time, just to give us something to talk about. Listen, I won the award today. I went to the doctor. He said I was the sickest person he has ever seen. Oh, thank goodness. I won my trophy. I mean, how many times have I heard that as a pastor? The doctor told me this is the worst case he's ever seen. He's only three and he's only been practicing for 9 months, but the worst case. I got the worst one. It's because I'm a Watson. Come on, church. You know I'm telling the truth. Why don't we just say it more often? I'm healed. Instead of saying, I got a headache, just say, I'm healed by the stripes that Jesus took on his back. I'm healed. He bore this headache in his body 2,000 years ago. He felt my cranium hurting. He bore it. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ. I'm healed. I mean, how can you be healed and still be hurting? It's all a faith thing, folks. Bible says we believe in things we can't see. Bible says we believe in things that aren't manifest yet. But I want to tell you something. It's all there because he's already paid for it. And I tell you something. If he's paid for it, it's a done deal. Okay. This next one's good. I have no lack. I lack nothing. I have no lack. This is Philippians 4:19. It says, but my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know, this is what I realize. If God supplies all of my needs, that means that I don't have anything that I need. Wait a minute, I got to read that again. I'm not sure if it said it right. It says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Are y'all there with me? It says he's going to supply all of our need. And if he supplies all of our need, I have no lack. I cannot want for anything because God has supplied all of my needs. In 2 Corinthians 9:8, it says, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Are y'all there with me? He says, all sufficiency in all things. You know what that means? That you've had enough. Whenever we were in Africa, I got to tell you, man, those people were so blessed. They blessed us so. I mean, they cooked for us whenever we were building these churches. But I got to tell you, man, some of the food was hard to stomach. It's just hard. I mean, they cooked all out for us, but they made this one meal in particular that it was. They had butchered a goat that morning, and they had cooked him and made some goat stuff. And I'm telling you, there was so much goat hair in that stuff, you just couldn't hardly see the meat. I mean, listen, they were blessing us. And so please don't misunderstand this, but I'm from the West, and so you guys got to just cut me some slack. The one thing that they taught us while they were serving us, while the ladies were serving us, is to tell them, you know, that we've had enough. But they were so generous that they didn't want us to tell them they had enough. And so if our bowl got even anywhere close to being empty, they filled it up again. So I'm just going to tell you something. I had no lack for that goat stuff. I had enough hair that day I could have braided a quilt with it. And I just smiled and I said, God, this is for your glory. And I just loved on those ladies that they cook for us because they cook for us out of a heart of blessing. I didn't want no more. And I got more. I really believe the scripture is a whole lot like that. It says, always having all sufficiency in all things. In other words, we go, God, I have had enough. I've got enough. Instead, sometimes we walk around saying, I ain't got, I need, I'm a needy person, I need. See, I really believe that this is kind of one of those master keys to spiritual maturity. You've got to know your identity. You've got to know. You've got to know that you have no lack. You have no lack. There is nothing that you lack in Christ Jesus. You go, Pastor, I'm struggling just to make ends meet. I'm telling you, get a hold of this. Instead of a no-so Christianity, start saying so. Father, I have no lack in you. Every one of my needs is going to be provided. I think you need to do this over coffee one of these days. Somebody's sitting next to you, and you probably don't even have enough money for that coffee. That say, listen, I have no lack. I'm going to tell you, my Father supplies all of my needs according to His riches that is in glory. He supplies everything I need, and He's going to supply every need that I have. He's going to make it abound. In fact, the Bible says it's going to run over. Hallelujah. You see, it's your spiritual identity that connects you to your destiny. See, we're all destined. We're destined. We all have a heritage. I told you a little bit about my heritage. My uncles and aunts on my dad's side, they're a mess. But my spiritual heritage is quite different. And so our identity, see, I've long since given up on Watson. Are y'all with me? But I haven't given up on being a child of the Most High God. That is my spiritual identity. I am a son of the Most High God. Hoo-yah! So I'll tell you this morning, I have no lack. I mean, the Bible tells us that we are partakers. That we are partakers. And any of you have ever fed your kids, you realize what a partaker is. You've set out a meal on the table, and you know, you've prayed the prayer, and then you go, okay, let's eat. And you, before you even open your eyes, there's already hands in the mashed potatoes. You know what I'm saying? You realize that your kids are partakers of the food you have prepared. I'm a partaker. I am now taking part in the divine nature that Christ Jesus has given to me. And I could preach all day long on this message. I could stop right there and talk about the divine nature that Christ Jesus, through Him, we have. But this morning, I'm just skimming over it. In Colossians 1:12, it says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saint in the light. He has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance. And folks, a lot of times we've got this whole inheritance things messed up because we think our folks got to die in order for us to get the inheritance. Are y'all there? I'm just going to tell you this. Our Heavenly Father ain't never going to die. And so what He's done is He said, listen, all the stuff I got, everything I got, everything that's part of my kingdom, He says it's yours right now. Just go ahead and enjoy. Be a partaker of what it is that you've inherited through Christ Jesus. That's good. That's good. I like that. Another translation of that message, of that text, it says, giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the saints' inheritance in the light, who has enabled you to share in it. Come on. I like it. Now, I got to cut you in on something. Your spirit, because how many of y'all know that your spirit, you got a spirit inside you. Your spirit already knows who you are. You know, whenever you're walking around going, man, I don't have, I'm never going to have, never gonna. Your spirit is in there going, no, you have no lack. That's what your spirit's doing. Your spirit knows who you are. There is no identity crisis in your spirit, but it's your mind that's got to come into that knowledge. It's your brain that's got to make some adjustments. You got to have your mind renewed, man, because I tell you what this world does. It feeds us this line all of our lives, all of our lives. It puts it in us, who we are, who we are, who we are. And then we get saved and the Bible says, oh, no, 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 no. No, that's not who you are. This is who you are. You are somebody that has no lack. You are somebody that walks in the strong arm of Jesus Christ. You are a holy habitation of the Most High God. You are blessed. You are healed. You are bold. You are righteous. You are redeemed. Are y'all there with me? And your brain is over there going, no, I'm not all of those things. Your spirit going, yeah, baby, you're all of those things. We got to transform our minds. We got to renew our minds. Next one. I am a son of God. I'm a son of God. Whew. Let me just tell you, it feels a whole lot better being a son of God than the son of Max Watson. Nothing against my dad. I'm just telling you. If I had a choice right now, I'd just tell you, I'd much rather be a son of God than a son of Max Watson. I'm a son of God. In 1 John 3:2, it says, beloved, now we are the sons of God. That's what it says. Now we are the sons of God. 1 John 3:1, it says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the sons of God. Whew. Are you understand what John's saying there? He's saying, guys, man, how could this possibly be? I mean, we are just mortal men. We're just, man, I was a son of thunder for heaven's sake. Are y'all there with me? I mean, I was living like something I shouldn't have been living like till Jesus called me. But now, I mean, the Father has poured out a whole big old bucket of love on me. And now he calls me his own son. That's the J.D. Watson interpretation. Y'all there? Romans 8:14, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Woo! I'm a son of God. That was kind of weak. I'm not going to give you a second chance on any of these, man. If you believe it, just step out there and let her go. I'm a son of God. This is my spiritual identity. And before I can have any kind of spiritual identity, maturity, I've got to understand who I am. And if I never achieve spiritual maturity, I will never walk in spiritual authority. Our spiritual authority is tied up in our spiritual identity. Who you are. My kids, I don't know if I even want to tell y'all this because you'll probably call the district superintendent. They've always treated the church building a little bit differently than most people do. Because they, for the most part, grew up in the church. I've long since stopped this, so y'all don't get all crazy on me. But we needed a place to shoot our bow one time in Montana. And if you opened the foyer door and stood right back at the steps, you could set a target right here and shoot it with an arrow, and it was exactly 20 yards. Now, we didn't do this during a Sunday morning service. We thought about it. We didn't. And now you have to understand, we were good shots, and we didn't miss the target and stick one through the baptismal. We didn't do that. But we shot our bows in the sanctuary. Now some of you are going, oh, the house of God. No, my kids were a little different. Are y'all there? It was like they were there so much that they acted different. My kids were that way about their house too. We'd have neighbor kids, except for this one guy named Steve Fight. Steve Fight thought he belonged to us. But most of our kids that we'd come over, they were a little different than my own kids. They treated my house different. You know, opening the refrigerator and getting food out. You know, this is dad's food, but it's mine. Neighbor kids, they didn't do it exactly like that. Steve did, though. Steve was one of those kids. He was, that's why we moved from Montana. But you see, they knew who they were, and they acted differently because of who they were. They were the pastor's kids. I wouldn't let deacon's kids shoot the bow in the sanctuary. I wouldn't let Sunday school teachers shoot the bow in the sanctuary. They came to me and said, Pastor, we want to shoot the bow in the sanctuary. I said, mm-mm, just my kids. That's it. Y'all know, you understand what I'm saying here, right? They acted differently because of who they were. If you don't know that you are a son of God, you will never have spiritual authority. If you don't stand up tall and say, I am a son of God, that's who I am, you're going to act differently than those who know they are the son of God. And let me just say this. This is one of those that I got to tread on kind of lightly. If you are ashamed to confess your spiritual sonship, you will never have spiritual authority. And sometimes we're like that. Sometimes the only thing we'll admit to is that we go to church. Boy, it's quiet in here. Your friends need to understand you're a child of God. Your friends need to know, your family needs to know that you are a son of the Most High God. Come on. I don't just go to church, folks. I'm a child of the Most High God. You want me to tell you why I go to church? Because I'm a child of the Most High God. I was a child of God long before I had any issues with going to church. Are y'all there with me? I mean, I had to go to church because my stupid brother hoodwinked me into going to church. He said, if you live with me, you got to go to church while you live with me. I said, I can stand on my head that long. I didn't want to go to church. But then I got to be a child of the Most High God, and that's what made me want to go to church. Are y'all there with me? So, I am a son of God. That one's good. You see, we have the same sonship positioning with God that Jesus had. You go, oh, don't ever put us on equal footing with Jesus. I'm telling you, I'm not doing it. The Bible does it. He says, you are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. He is our older brother. We got to stand in that position. I'm going to tell you something. We got to stand in that position. We got to stand in that position. We got to say, listen, I'm a child of the Most High God. My older brother is Jesus. My heavenly Father is God who created everything. Woo! That's who I am. Remember, it's not just a no-so. I mean, some of you go, I know I'm a Christian. I know I'm a son of God. I'm telling you, we need to say so. Okay, next one. I don't think we're going to get through with this. Oh, yeah, we will. It's not even one. I am in Christ. And you say, well, you said you were son of God. You're all this, but it's a little bit different. I am in Christ. In Ephesians 2:6, it says, and he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Let me just tell you something. If you're not in Christ Jesus, you're in a world of hurt. Because the Bible quoted that scripture a moment ago, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Anyone who is in Christ, you then become a new creature. I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ. You see, Jesus gave us his name to act on his behalf. And so, if you're not in Christ, you can't use his name. In Mark 16, verses 17 and 18, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with a new tongue. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. In John 14:13, it says, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. In John 14:14, it says, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. But folks, I gotta tell you this. You've got to understand and know that you are in Christ Jesus. My wife is pretty small. She's a little bitty, itty bitty. But whenever I would go to work, I'm big. And my kids had a right to be scared of me. And now please don't misunderstand me. This wasn't abusive scared. I'm telling you something. Your children need to fear their father. A respectful, healthy fear. And not because you've abused them, but because you have authority over their lives. Come on. So I'd leave, and I left my wife outnumbered. I'd go to work all day long, and my wife, she's just there trying to do the best she can with them. But you know what I used to tell my kids? Someone tell you something, man. Don't you pull nothing on your mother, because if you do something to your mother, you're doing it to me. And I will come home, I will hunt you down, and I will kill you. Y'all there? So whenever they looked at their mother and they were like going to pull something on her, they go, mm-mm, because daddy will kill us. Y'all there? She walked in my name. Her authority was in my name. Y'all there? I could go into a great big old long sermon on this one too. But we are the bride of Christ. Come on. We are the bride of Christ. We're not going to be the bride of Christ. We have been betrothed to him. And our groom is going to show up here before very long. And he's going to take his bride with him to heaven. Hallelujah. We are the bride of Christ. We have his name. He has given us his name. And so whenever the enemy looks at us, you have to understand, that's why he hates our guts, is because we're the bride of Christ. We have taken the name of Jesus Christ. And folks, you have to understand, we walk in his name. We use his name. We use it as authority here on this earth. And so this morning, what do you say about yourself? What do you say about yourself? I've given you a whole bunch of ammunition here, but I could have given you a whole bunch more. Because the Bible, just like John the Baptist learned it, the Bible tells you who you are. John said, hey, I'm one crying in the wilderness. I'm preparing the way for my Lord. He knew who he was because he read the scripture. Jesus said, I am the I am, because he knew who he was through the scripture. So this morning, what do you say about yourself? Who are you? Who do you think you are?
I'm this J.D. Watson, that's all.
Mm-mm. You see, if you've experienced that new birth, if you've experienced that John chapter 3, born again experience, you are way more than you think you are. We need to begin to say about ourselves what God has already said about us. I am redeemed. I am a new creature. I am the righteousness of God. I am the head and not the tail. I am a lender and not the borrower. I am healed of the Lord. I am the salt of the earth. I am the light of the world. I am more than a conqueror. I am blessed with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places. I have been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. I am the branch of the true vine. I am a son of God with all the rights and privileges and the authority of that position. I am as welcome in the presence of God as Jesus is. And it's not just enough to know this. I've been saying this all the way through this sermon. This isn't just a no-so gospel. It's a say-so gospel. It's not enough just to know who Jesus is. It's not just enough to know who we are in him. We got to say it. I think the person that means to be talked into this most often is probably our own selves. You see, that's where spiritual maturity begins. Whenever you start learning who you are in Christ Jesus, you'll start coming to church in a whole different way. You start dealing with your family in a whole different way. Y'all there with me? You start dealing with your finances in a whole different way. Whenever you learn your identity in Christ Jesus, you see, that starts propelling you to maturity. Whenever you start getting mature in the Lord, I would just tell you this, you will start walking in authority. And if you ever want to walk in authority, you've got to have maturity. And if you ever want maturity, you're going to have spiritual identity. You're going to have to know who you are in Christ Jesus. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Power equals the right to become. So clearly, Jesus is making this distinction between those who had received and those who had received him and would become the sons of God. So there's a little bit different. Just because you are a son of God doesn't mean that you have all the stuff the son of God wants to give you. Are y'all there with me? I mean, because I'm going to tell you something. There's people that are born again. If they died right this moment, they would go straight to heaven. But they're walking in spiritual poverty. They're walking without all the things that God intends for us to have in our lives. So just being a son of God doesn't make it for you. You're going to have to understand that I am a son of God and I have all of these things he said I have. Just receiving Jesus doesn't make you the son of God he needs you to be. It qualifies you, but it doesn't make you. Are y'all there with me? Because he wants us to be true sons. He wants us to be true daughters of God. Sonship is a position of maturity that comes through believing and acting on the Word of God. We become sons of God through, number one, the new birth, and number two, the process of renewing our minds. Folks, I can tell you, even though we're born again, we may not believe that we are truly the sons of God. We got to believe it. That's what makes us a son. One of these days, you just wake up and you go, good grief. I'm a son of the Most High God. Hoo-yah! This next one is one you got to catch a hold of. I could have probably just said this and moved on and not preached any other thing today, but this is one of those things that we all have to get a hold of. You will never rise higher than your opinion of yourself. You'll never rise higher than your opinion of yourself. And that's why you got to renew your mind. That's why you got to do Romans chapter 12, verse 1. We've got to renew our minds. You have to see yourself from God's perspective. That's what John the Baptist did. He seen himself from God's perspective. He said, I'm the voice crying in the wilderness. I'm the one preparing the way of the Lord. He seen himself. John, man, I'm going to tell you something. I think I would have been horribly intimidated by John. He seems like a guy that was just a no-nonsense guy. But he got all of that from his perspective being God's perspective. You got to think according to the Word. I need something? Okay. I have no lack. God will provide because I have no lack. Everything that he owns is mine, and I'm going to tell you something. He's got enough to take care of me. So whenever you think according to the Word, you'll probably speak according to the Word. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So, some of these things perhaps that we're struggling with this morning, we need to say it a whole lot more often than we probably do. I really believe that oftentimes you can tell the degree of a person's mind being renewed by what comes out of their mouths. See, words are these little containers like Tupperware, and they carry our thoughts. Think about it. What you say is what you're thinking. You know, whenever you're watching the news and something comes across the news and you go, oh, that's just terrible. That is terrible. That's your thoughts coming out in your words. A little capsule contains your thoughts. So this morning, I don't know what you're thinking just by being able to look at you. But what you speak, whenever you speak your words, it's going to carry your thoughts, and I will be able to know what you're thinking. Let me just tell you, somebody else that'll know what you're thinking by your words, and that's the devil. He never hears it coming out of your mouth that I am a child of God, I'm healed, I'm blessed, I'm redeemed. Are y'all with me? He's probably going to say, I got that person right where I need him. He starts hearing you start saying stuff like this all the time. I've been going over this. Today, he probably was real unhappy with what you all were saying. Real unhappy with what I was saying, because whenever he starts seeing that stuff come out of our mouths, he knows he has a problem. Your spiritual identity is the key to your spiritual authority. Jared, if you'll come and help me close this morning. Your spiritual identity is found right here in the Word. That's why I use the scripture from John the Baptist. That's where he got his spiritual identity. I mean, whenever they said, who are you? He didn't say, well, you know, I used to be a camel trader. I was going back and forth from Jerusalem, you know, to Tel Aviv. He didn't say that. His spiritual identity was completed from what he read in this book. Are y'all there with me? He said, I am. I'm not a prophet. I'm not the Savior. I am the one who is crying in the wilderness. I'm the one making way. And you can read a little bit more as he goes on and talks about what the prophet Isaiah prophesied about him years and years before John the Baptist's birth. John the Baptist, his idea of who he was, the identity that had formulated on the inside of him, came from the Word of God. So this morning, what is it that you say about yourself? Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Are you blessed? Are you righteous? Are you strong? Are you redeemed? Are you bold? Are you healed? Because that's what the Word says about you. That's what this says about you. This is what the Word says about me. I'm telling you something, folks. What the Word says about me is so much more than I could have ever dreamed about being. I'm a conqueror. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am all of these things, not because I say so, but because this Word says so. Let's bow our heads. Father, we love you. I thank you, Father, for the power of your Word. Because the power of this Word is, Father, that it can formulate who we are if we'll just get it into our minds and our hearts. If we'll start believing it, if we'll start confessing it, not just living a no-so Christianity, but Father, living a say-so Christianity, Lord God. What do we say about ourselves, Lord, is so important. What we think about ourselves, Father God, is ultimately going to be what's coming out of our mouths. And so, Father, I pray this over every one of our lives. Let the mind be in us that was also in Christ Jesus. Father, let the mind that was in Christ Jesus, let it also be in us.